Welcome to Live from the Dark Room. My name is Andy Henderson, and I am so glad that you're joining us this week. I'm super excited because I get to sit down with Michaela Reynolds, who is a wonderful photographer that I met just a little over a year ago in New York City. We've worked on a few projects together, but she has been creating some amazing work during the pandemic. I'm so excited to talk to her a little bit about that, as well as creating with limited resources and limited space. So before we get into it, you can follow Michaela on Instagram at Michaela JPG. That is MichaelaHJPG. You can also follow her work at MichaelaReynoldsPhoto.com. If you want to follow our show, the best way to do that is at Andy Henderson on Instagram. And without further ado, let's just get into the show. Welcome to Live from the Dark Room, and a big welcome to our guest, Michaela Reynolds. Hey, Michaela, welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here and taking the time out of your day to talk and chat. And I want to give you time to talk about like your photography journey and everything that you've been doing recently, because I know that you've been doing so much stuff. But first, can I just share part of the story about when we first met?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Okay.
I believe it's been over a year.
Yeah, I was just thinking that today. And yeah, so like it was at Broadway Con, which was, like you said, almost, what, a little over a year ago. And So I was shooting for The Ensemblist, who I know you do a lot of work for now. And Mark Franklin, who I interviewed in episode 4 of this podcast, was on a photography panel. So I was there supporting him, and it was Mark and Michael Kushner and Joan Marcus was on the panel. And I was freaking out because I know we're like all Joan stans. And after the panel, Mark introduces us to each other. And I was, you know, hoping to get an introduction to Joan, but, you know, that's okay. And I feel like it was just history from there. We clicked and, you know, I feel like have really been supportive of each other's work from there on out. And it's, like I said, just history from there.
Well, and if you remember too, we also figured out that you and I have a lot of mutual friends.
That's right. Oh, I forgot
and
about
you
that.
You went to college with someone I went to my grad program with.
That's right. You know, both Arkansas college people. So,
yeah.
Wow. I definitely forgot about that. Yes, Wupig. I'm sorry, I didn't go to U of A, so I don't even know how to call the hogs, but that's a different podcast episode, right? Okay, so this is a question that I ask everybody, on every guest that's ever been on this podcast, and I just want to know, if you had to use one lens and only one lens for the rest of your life, what would it be and why?
Right now, I think the lens that I would use for the rest of my life is a 35mm. I think it's a 1.8 f-stop. And I don't know, it's just my trusty portrait guy right now. Yeah. I don't think I've taken that lens off my camera in like 8 months.
Yeah.
It's just always, like, I can always trust it to do its thing. And it's worked for me so far. So why give it up now?
Yeah. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. I think it's partially because I've been doing so much portrait work. I mean, usually I do production work with, like, I used to be a concert photographer, and so I use different lenses then. But with the primary focus being portraits right now, it's definitely my 35mm.
Can you tell me a little bit about your journey as a photographer, like kind of where and how you started, where it's taken you? And we'll get into the details of your recent stuff here in a bit, but just want to kind of hear what you have to say about your journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So back in 2017, so about almost 4 years now, I studied abroad in London, and I had originally not picked photography as a course. I was getting ready to graduate early from my undergrad program, and so I could kind of just choose electives because that's all I needed. But I was in this other class, and it required a lot of papers. And I was like, you know what? This is my senior year. I don't want to write a lot of papers on my one study abroad trip.
Right.
So I went to the office and I figured out that there was like one space of for their photography course left. And so I switched classes real quick and I got into this photography course at Richmond University. It was like 3 weeks. They gave us all some kind of Nikon camera, I believe, and just had like photo assignments throughout London.
Nice.
And
wow.
It was, yeah, it was great. They like taught me so much. I mean, I don't believe that anyone really needs to go to like a school or like have a degree necessarily to be a good photographer,
sure.
But like to be, I guess I was 21 at the time, and just kind of have like a crash course and like basically what to do. It was so helpful. And I came back and I was like, okay, I think I really like this. I've always had like, you know, like simple point and shoot cameras, like mm-hmm. that all kids have, you know?
Yeah.
But, I was like, I kind of want to pursue it more. And my dad actually had this like older Nikon D5000, I think it was, that he just like had with a bunch of lenses that he didn't really use. And we kind of figured out that he didn't really use it anymore. So he ended up giving me the camera for Christmas with all of his lenses.
Go dad.
Yes, we love dad. It was just insane. I was like, this is too much, but thank you. And then around that time is when I discovered people like Joan Marcus and Matt Murphy and our good friend Mark J. Franklin.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. I'd always been like a theater-ish nerd, but never had done it. And I was like, this is like a really cool way to do something that I still really like in an industry that I really like, but not be like on a stage.
Yeah.
And so then I just kind of started shooting. I had just graduated from my undergrad, like I said, and I was in my master's program at the time for communications. And then I just started to like reach out to people. I met Mark on a random summer trip to New York, and kind of like your story with him. He was just like the kindest human being ever, invited me to the Playbill offices. And I was like, okay, like this is a possibility. Like I could do this
yes.
for a living, which is
Mark is the best.
We love Mark J. Franklin.
We love like, Mark J. Franklin on the Live from the Dark Room podcast.
Truly. And I talked to him about this a lot, because I don't think he realizes like the impact he had on me, but him. And then, you know, later in my now, like in the now times, but him and Matt Murphy and even Joan Marcus, they've all been so like just welcoming. And it's so incredible to like experience that from people who are like in the top tier of this industry and like this specific subsect of the industry.
Yeah.
But his kindness was just like so much, and it just kind of inspired me to like keep going. And then last January, right before Broadway Con, I finally had graduated from my master's and I moved to New York. But I was doing PR and marketing at the time. And so I had just gotten a job doing that when the shutdown had happened. And so I hadn't really had the time to like pursue photography in New York. I'd done like a couple of things. I took your little lighting class, which I need a refresh on.
Anytime.
But yes. But I kind of just went through a really big creative stalemate with the shutdown. And once I got back to the city in June, I reached out to the ensemblist and we started working together from there. And that's kind of when everything took off.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, I mean, I have seen, and we'll definitely get into this, but I have seen some of the work that you were doing, especially like, yeah, when you got back in June. And I remember just thinking, wow, like, I'm so glad that someone is able to be there documenting this time, because nobody was working. No photographer, no Broadway photographer was working. I feel like you were the last working Broadway photographer at the time. And I think it was such a cool thing to see you able to grow in this time and connect with the ensemblist. And I know you just did a really big project with them that's on Playbill now, and we'll get to that, but I wanted you to talk a little bit about how you got involved with them. I know you said that you reached out, but maybe a little bit more about that. And then also some of the early shoots that you were able to do with them when you first got back in June.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had actually reached out in February of 2020. So real quick, right before that shutdown.
Yeah.
And I had wanted to do some kind of pride shoot with them.
Yeah.
I thought it would be really cool. I was trying to figure out new ways. I was trying to really grow creatively once I moved to New York, but was like still figuring out how. But then obviously the shutdown happened. And so I spoke with Mo Brady, who's the creator of The Ensemblist, and he was like, let's circle back. You know, obviously nothing's happening right now. And so as like the months that I was back home in Texas, I was like still trying to like keep up and figure out like how could I do something once I'm back in New York. And then Frozen closed, which was, I feel like, a real defining mark in the shutdown.
Yeah.
For a Disney show to close was such a huge deal for everyone.
Right.
Because no one saw it coming. And so I was like, how could we do something to like commemorate this? Like, this is obviously horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to figure out a way to give them a proper send off through like photo, knowing that we couldn't really do anything inside a theater and couldn't be in groups of people. It could basically just be me and a subject. So I reached out to Mo and I pitched what is now my first series with Ensemblist, which was the Marquee series.
Mm.
So basically it had, my idea was just taking ensemble members and having them in front of their marquee and doing just normal portraits or show choreography just to feel like some sense of the Broadway community back. And Mo loved it. And we didn't really think it was going to be a series. We thought it was going to be, we did one day of four different shows. It was West Side Story, Moulin Rouge, Aladdin, and Hamilton.
Hmm.
And we did it, and it was my first time actually shooting dance. I've grew up dancing, and I like have had bad dance portraits, so like I've always wanted to be like a person who could like provide good dance photos for people, because it sucks when you're a dancer and you don't get good dance pictures.
I can imagine.
Yeah, it's horrible. But we did it, and I just kind of went with it. And because I knew dance, it was like easy to anticipate like jumps and good angles and that kind of thing. And then he posted like the first photo set from West Side Story. And kind of like you said, because I was the only one really doing anything then, because everyone was either gone or just not really working, it really just kind of blew up, which I was not expecting. I had like never, I was still kind of converting my Instagram into my photo Instagram. And so I had never gotten, I think, like over maybe 50 likes, which like isn't anything. I don't try to measure anything, but
sure.
The photo set from West Side Story on the Ensemblist like hit over 1,000 likes, and on my profile it hit like over 200, and I was like, oh my god. Like,
yeah,
holy shit.
Yeah,
like it was such a turn, because I had never, everyone from college didn't really know me as a photographer, and I hadn't really made my mark in the Broadway industry yet. And so it was like so pleasant to be like finally seen as like a photographer in the industry.
Yeah.
And then yeah, we just kind of kept going from there. We ended up shooting, I think, close to 15 shows or something like that.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, and it was just so incredible too to be with these artists again and just making some kind of art being in the city. It was such a dead sight at that point. I've never done a photo shoot on a New York sidewalk and had no one in the background.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, you were creating those things. And like you said, I mean, it was so dead. It was so different, but you were able to bring, I think, so much life to, and I don't say this lightly. Like, I feel like you were able to bring so much life to the Broadway community, being able to see these actors, these ensemble members dancing in the streets of New York. And yes, they're empty streets, but it's kind of that message of like Broadway's not dead and it's not going anywhere. And even though you have these things like Frozen closing and other horrible things that are happening, like, I feel like, again, like I saw these photos and instantly I was just thinking like, wow, this is like, these dance photos are just incredible. And I'm serious. Like I love your dance photos and I love the photos that you were taking of like West Side Story, specifically are the ones that I remember, I think, seeing first. I think those were the first ones that I saw. And I was just like, these are just incredible. And it really gave me some kind of even like hope in the moment, like, okay, like this is still happening. Like we're still in this. So like, I feel like you really brought that for a lot of people.
Thank you. And that was the goal.
And I know that you have done a lot of other things, with the Ensemblist as well. I know you did the photo project back in August of last year that was inspired by the Broadway's Open for Business photo after 9/11. And I don't know if it's that or something else, but could you just tell me about maybe your favorite project that you've worked on over this last year of Broadway being shut down? Because the anniversary of the Broadway shutdown is coming up. I think it's in like 5 days.
Yes. Oh, yes. I have a couple of favorites. So that tribute was definitely one of them. Mo Brady had like reached out to me and was like, hey, I have this kind of big project. And I was like, okay, let's hear it. And he was like, so there's this photo that I want to take, but I want to do it in like the now times. And so he sent me the 9/11 photo and I was like, oh yeah, of course. I've known that photo since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And so he and Michael Fatica, who is an actor at Frozen, he and Michael all got 10 other people to kind of organize these groups of actors. And so everyone was met every couple blocks in Times Square. And it was a crazy morning because we thought it wasn't going to rain. And then, of course, as it's like looming, we're supposed to shoot, I think, exactly at 10. And as it's like 9:52, the clouds are like coming over Times Square.
Of course.
And so I was like, oh, God. And luckily, I had one of my very best friends, who is also a phenomenal photographer, Maddie Ficarra. Mm-hmm. She was my like second shooter because she's like really one of the people that I just like trust to always produce amazing work. She was there with me to take like close-ups and she was like kind of helping me calm my nerves. And we were like, okay, it's about to rain. We just need to go. And so we literally just texted in the group text, like, go, go, go. And then it was just so funny because then it was like groups of 10 actors just swarming into Times Square in front of the red stairs.
Wow.
Luckily, everyone was like super prepared and they all did like the little point and we like snapped a bunch of photos really quick. I mean, it was probably like maybe 5 minutes. And then we did a photo, which we haven't released yet, just because we want to release it once like Broadway's back, of all of the actors just like dancing and celebrating.
Yeah.
And as soon as that happened, the rain, like just like the entire sky opened up and the rain just came down and everyone was just like dancing and then like hugging people that they haven't seen in so long. And honestly, it felt like it was such a sad time, especially in August when it kind of felt like there was no end to it.
Mm-hmm.
But to see everyone just like so happy to be back in like a small portion of the community, it was just so uplifting and it was just so lovely. Like, that, it was so great.
That just gave me chills, honestly. Yeah. I can't wait to see that whenever it comes out.
It was a crazy day. And like, I remember just taking a photo with Maddie after we were done where we're just like laughing and like our hair is literally soaked as if we just stepped out of a shower. Like it was insane. Like the rain was not supposed to even be there. And then all of a sudden it just poured, but it was just such a lovely day.
Wow.
That's definitely one of my favorite projects. Another one that was really great was Maddie and I partnered up. Maddie has a lot of friends who were in the Frozen cast. Mm-hmm. And we were like brainstorming and kind of joking about how in yearbooks, we would write like hags or just like notes that didn't really have any meaning.
Yeah.
But then we kind of like circled back to my marquee series because it was originally supposed to be for Frozen. And then it just ended up everyone, all of the Frozen stuff, as soon as they like announced closing, was basically ripped down. So there was no Frozen marquee. Mm. There was nothing. Wow. So there wasn't really much to do.
Yeah.
It was heartbreaking. And so we were like, we still kind of want to do something for them. And so we came up with the idea for the Frozen yearbook. Huh. And so we did portraits outside of the St. James Theater with, I think, almost all of the cast. And they wrote little notes to the cast, and we made these layouts that looked like a little yearbook and just kind of gave it to them. And it was the first time Maddie and I had both just kind of come up with a concept and ran it ourselves. And Maddie is just like truly one of the greatest partners that anyone could ever ask for, and they took lead on almost the entire project. And we both did photos of each person, and so it was like a combination of both of our photography styles, which are like fairly different, and it was just so great. Like, it was a lovely collaboration between the two of us, and also just to be able to give some kind of closure to that cast, which didn't really get anything.
Yeah.
Was just a great project. I mean, it was so uplifting to kind of like have these people interact again. And I mean, like the little kids who were young Anna and young Elsa's hadn't even been back to the theater until they did that shoot.
Wow.
And so, oh, it was heartbreaking, but also the best day because they all got to see each other again. And so it was nice to give that little send off for them.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I think that it's so cool to see how you were able to creatively take that idea and put it into practice and create something like that the actors are going to appreciate definitely for the rest of their lives, because it's so important to them. And like you said, it was taken from them very quickly and kind of unexpectedly. And so, and I think that's awesome. I kind of want to transition a little bit now into talking about finding ways to work creatively, which you already do, but work creatively with what you have and in the space that you have, because, you know, you've been doing shoots for The Ensemblist, like we've talked about, and I know you've also been working from home though, and setting up shoots indoors and with Jerusha and people like that. And so I think I want to talk a little bit about what you're able to do creatively in a small space and with limited resources, because I think that's kind of where a majority of photographers are right now and have been, you know, for the last year. So could you just tell me a little bit about how you've managed to make do with what you have?
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of challenged myself once there was like a little bit of a slowdown after my initial projects with The Ensemblist, and I still wanted to create, but couldn't really find the like energy to like go outside. It was also extremely hot because New York in the summer is like the devil's heat.
Right. Right.
But so I was like, I want to challenge myself. And I talk about this with Mark a lot, but I hate photos of myself. Like, for some reason, unless it's Mark J. Franklin on the other side of that camera, I could never stand a photo of myself.
Yeah.
Like, I just never was a fan. And so I was like, I had looked at people like Kimberly, who is on TikTok.
Yes.
And then Marina Williams, photography is her name, who are both on TikTok and like post amazing like setups in their houses and just like doing self portraits. And I was like, okay, I kind of want to play on that. Like, I think that's really cool. And Maddie had actually gotten these like $15 LED bars from Amazon.
Nice.
Like, yeah, beautiful, like super bright and like super cheap. And
yeah,
that is always up my alley as someone who has been unemployed for the last year. So I was like, okay, I kind of want to use these. And so I'd gotten some for a shoot that I did that was like Euphoria inspired.
Yes. And oh, so I love those.
I mean, Jerusha is just amazing, but
yeah,
those were some of my favorites that I've ever taken. But so I was like, okay, I kind of want to like do the colored portrait somehow with myself and like take a, not a headshot, but like a new portrait of myself, because I hadn't had a new photo since at least before the shutdown happened.
Yeah.
And so I literally got, I think, 3 yards of fabric from a fabric store nearby that was on sale. And I literally pinned it to my wall using like thumbtacks. And then I'm very lucky in that the camera that I have, which is the Nikon D750, mm-hmm. It allows you to have like an app that you can take, like look at the viewfinder from your camera on.
Yeah.
And then you can take the portraits from your phone. So that was like a very nice thing. I can't imagine like without it. But so I kind of just started playing around with self-portraits and figuring out how to make the very tiny bedroom of mine look like a studio.
Yeah.
And so I honestly turned to Pinterest for a lot of it. I just started looking up like creative self-portraits and kind of figuring out different ways to show creativity. I take a lot of what I'm inspired by too, just in like what I'm watching or what I'm listening to. I did a photo set back in December, I think, based off the Queen's Gambit because I had finished it. And that
Those were such cool photos.
Thank you. It was literally like, okay, I think my dad has a chess set. I can probably curl my hair and then just Photoshop my hair to look red.
Nice.
And we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So it's honestly just that. Like sometimes I'll think of something that I'm like, okay, that's inspiring me. And then I'll just kind of go from there. I did like birthday self-portraits and I was like, okay, I kind of want the idea because I just turned 25. I was like, okay, quarter life crisis. How can I show a birthday party, but like not being super excited to like grow older in the middle of a freaking pandemic. So I like just bought like cheap balloons and party hats and went from there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just like taking like whatever's cheapest, because I am not about to spend a lot of money right now.
Of course.
And just like using inspiration from the multitude of photographers in our industry.
Definitely. I mean, you were talking about Kimberly and she's just incredible. Like anytime I need to be inspired about creating in a small space, like that's whose work I look at. If anyone listening has not seen her work, it's, I mean, on Instagram and TikTok, I believe it's KIHMBERLIE, Kimberly. Mm-hmm. And she will take these just like, it's nothing. It's a room. It's a room in her house or apartment.
It's literally like a white room.
Yeah. With nothing in it. And she creates these just gorgeous setups. And, she recreated the Donna Summer, Four Seasons of Love album cover, where she's sitting on the moon. She did these just incredible shots that look like they're all location scouted and styled and set perfectly. It's all just in that bedroom. And so that really gives me inspiration because, I mean, that's where I started. That was exactly what I was doing was, I mean, definitely not to that extent, anywhere close to that. But like, that's kind of how I started was, you know, like cheap lights and in a whatever kind of backdrop I could find just in my bedroom and in my... Mm-hmm. college dorm room. And like those were the kinds of shoots that I think a lot of people are having to revert back to now, being in the pandemic and being in, whether it be their apartment or house or wherever, you don't have the creative option a lot of times to go and rent a studio space anymore, or, you know, have a psych wall, and you don't have these things that you used to have. And I think like looking at people like Kimberly and so many other incredible photographers who are doing this in this time, like this seriously, like some of the most creative stuff I've seen in a long time. And I think I talked about in the very first episode of this podcast, I talked about how I was talking with a guest, Alex, and he was saying that he thinks that being limited helps your creativity and being limited. And we were talking specifically about gear, but I think it applies here too. Like, what do you think about being limited in the space or props or lighting or whatever you have? Have you felt like that's helped you be more creative?
Absolutely. I think having like not a lot kind of forces you to think about what you do have and how you can use it. Especially with light, there's so many things that you can just simply do. And like with these LED bars, they change just like to rainbow colors, but it kind of just makes you think, oh, how can I use this to make something different than I've already done? Mm. Because yeah, especially when you're in this shutdown and you're basically just home for 90% of the time, you want to like not be in a stalemate. So it just kind of makes you look at what in your life inspires you and who is doing something right now that looks really cool and how can you do it, but not copy them and just be so creative and inspired by other people. And so, I definitely think it forces you to think outside of the box of stuff that you normally wouldn't do.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend the other day and they were telling me that, they have really been able to, this person's a photographer, and they were telling me that they were able to learn a lot more about using natural light recently because they had always done studio stuff, always worked with studio lighting. And so now during this time, they've really been able to grow their natural light skills and have really grown in that way. I think whether it be that or learning how to shoot creatively in a small space or anything like that, I think it's important that we are always growing. But has this period of time helped you out in any way? Have you been able to grow in a way that maybe even you weren't thinking that you would?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that this period of time, just honestly has, my entire creative growth has happened during this. Mm. I posted like a TikTok a while back of like my work from right when I picked up a camera to now. And it's just like, I found my editing style. I found like how to be more creative in just like a portrait session. I remember feeling so awkward the first time that I just had like a friend get in a cute outfit and we went to like this random rainbow wall that's in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And I just didn't know how to do anything. Like, I didn't know how to run a photo shoot. And like, now I can go through and I have more confidence in myself. I think that's really helped, is during this time, just shooting so much has brought more confidence to my ability. I kind of always felt like I was maybe just like lucky that I got the shot before, or that like it was just happened like on accident. And now I feel like I have more confidence to kind of say what I want from a shoot and figure out what's like a good pose or just how to make a client feel more comfortable. And so it's just helped so much, like immensely. And even from like the first photo shoot I did with the ensemblist to this past one that I did this past week, you can tell the difference in my portraits. Like, my style has changed and evolved. And it's been honestly, like, this is such a weird time for our industry, but it has truly made me grow so much that I'm not entirely against it, you know?
Sure. Yeah. So like, you were just talking about the shoot that you just did. And that's what I wanted to talk about next, was what you were just able to create with the ensemblist. And I'll let you, kind of take it from here and talk about what you actually did.
Yes. So as we've already mentioned, the 1 year anniversary of the Broadway shutdown is coming up in a few days. And so we, Mo, Brady, and I, we were looking at how to photograph people in the industry and kind of convey the sense of isolation that we all still feel, but the fact that we're still a community. And so we were looking at this photo from 1979, I believe, by Langston Clay, which is like this weird composite of 42nd Street. And like, even just from 42nd Street from then to now is so vastly different. And so we were kind of like, okay, well, what if we just get a handful of actors and we photograph them going down 42nd Street? And I was like, great. Like, I think that we were kind of like scrolling through different ideas and just wanted to make sure that I wasn't like redoing the marquee series or just like doing not fun stuff, I guess. And because we wanted, at least I wanted to convey that, like, even though we've hit this year, like, we've already shown sad. Like, everyone's sad right now, but there are still like happy days that everyone has. It's not just like this monotonous sadness. Like, you can still have a good day, even though like we're in this terrible time. And so I was like, how do we do that within this? And so we, Mo came and he was like, how about we shoot for 100 actors? And I was like, what? He was like, yeah, we'll just cut it off at 100. And I was like, okay. Like, not what I was expecting. And I was like, all right, let's go for it. And we had some people drop out, so I think our total was 91 people. But I started at like 9:30 in the morning, and I just started at 42nd and 8th Avenue, and we just shot, and we had like 10 people per 15 minutes, I think. So it was literally like 2-minute shoots.
That's like incredible. The
quickest I've ever done in my life. And literally just kept going until we reached 42nd and Broadway, I think, is kind of where we ended up. And about 3 hours later, we were done. And yeah, it was just like close up portraits and then either them standing or them dancing or just being like vibrant. And yeah, it was honestly the craziest thing I've ever done in my life. I don't know how he convinced me to do it, but it was the perfect thing. Like, there's this duality of this isolation, but still feeling like a, like the Broadway community is still here. And I think that composite of just having all the actors there, it, you can still feel it. Like, you can feel it from person to person. And even just having like, at the end, there was just like a group of 3 or 4 people who kept like cheering on everyone who did it. And it was just like, you can tell like these people just like have such a ginormous love for everyone in the community, whether they're best friends or not. And it's just, it's still there. And it was very nice. I was exhausted by the end of it, but it was amazing.
I cannot even imagine. That sounds like a lot of work, but also at the same time, at the end of the day, it sounds really rewarding too. To be able to see that and you know, also see, like you were saying, how they were, you know, reacting to each other and staying and cheering each other on. That sounds really incredible. And I think, you know, March 12th, I believe, was the the Broadway shutdown. So, you know, like we've said a couple of times, we're going to be coming up on a year in about, you know, 5 days from the date that this is recorded. I think it will have passed by the time this podcast is released. But what have you learned? If you, I mean, we've talked a little bit about it, but if you could tell about one thing that you've learned over this shutdown, what would it be?
Honestly, I think the main thing I learned, which is like something that already was kind of in the back of my mind, was just to like keep shooting, which sounds like an obvious answer. But I remember when I first met Mark Franklin and he brought me up to the Playbill thing and I asked him if he had like any advice for me, because I was still a year and a half out from my program finishing up and moving here. And he was like, honestly, just like, shoot every day of your life. Like, just keep shooting and it's, you're gonna improve. And I always tried, but I, you know, was in this huge big program at the time and working 2 jobs outside of it and just trying to figure stuff out. And now that like I've had the time to slow down and just kind of focus on the actual work, it's just been just continuously shooting with people and meeting new people has like helped me grow so much.
Yeah.
I think it also just taught me a lot about the resiliency of the community. I think Broadway is something not necessarily that we took for granted, but it kind of feels that way at the moment.
Yeah.
Like it was just always there. I remember the week before the shutdown, I think I saw something every night because I could. Mm-hmm. Like I was finally in this city that I loved and could go to a Broadway show or an off-Broadway show anytime I wanted. And so I was still trying to like take advantage of that. And so to have it like just ripped away so quickly was so baffling. But just to see like everyone, no matter at what point in the shutdown, just be so confident that like this industry is going to return, like not an if or it's just when. And it just taught me a lot about how the community is going to make sure it's like comes through at the end.
Yeah, man, that's great. Michaela, this has been awesome. But listen, before we go, I just want to ask you two quick questions. I know we've discussed this a little bit, but what would you say to a young photographer who is feeling defeated because they can't afford the best gear and the nicest lights and they don't have access to a studio and everything's, you know, shut down right now? Like, I guess what kind of encouragement or advice would you give to somebody in that situation?
I would say find who inspires you. I think that helps so much, just figuring out what your style is like and who you like shooting. And I mean, just shoot with a bunch of friends. Like that's honestly what helped me so much, is I found like people who were in my corner and just willing to just shoot all the time. And so it was just finding kind of who inspires you and what you want your work to emulate. And then just always shooting is so important.
Yeah. And second question, who are you following right now that you think everyone should know about?
Ooh, I mean, Mark J. Franklin, obviously.
Right. Obviously.
His praises always. Also, Maddie Ficarra, who is also just the genuine best. They're, I've obviously talked about them, but they are a dance photographer mainly. They go out on tour with this dance competition. And so she does that a lot, but she's also just an amazing portrait photographer. And she just had this great Broadway Zodiac series come out. And she,
yeah, I saw that. That was fucking so nailed cool. It. Yeah. Yeah.
So incredible. But yeah, those are the main people. I mean, you have to. And Andy Henderson, of course.
Who? Michaela, thank you so much for being on the podcast. This was such a blast. I really hope you're back soon.
Yes. Oh, that'd be fun. It's so good to talk.
I would love that. It was great to talk. Thank you. Thank you, Michaela. Thank you for everyone listening. If you want to find Michaela's work, you can follow her on Instagram at Michaela JPG, which is Michaela MichaelaHJPG, and at MichaelaReynoldsPhoto.com. You can also follow the podcast at Photo Lessons by Andy on Instagram. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week on Live from the Dark Room.